pronounced dead at 5:30 p.m. Early medical reports indicate she died as a result of a hemorrhage from the aneurysm. An autopsy is scheduled for tomorrow. Lackey was from Urbana and had been sentenced last week to five years for retail theft. And Republican Congressman Dan Burton of Indiana says he will not seek re-election. Burton, serving his 15th term, says he'll serve out this term but not run again. The 73-year-old did not elaborate on his decision during a brief address to lawmakers in the Indiana House today. Burton narrowly survived tough GOP primary battles in his past two campaigns. He was elected to his 15th term in November 2010. He first won election in 1982. That's our noon hour look at WYLL News. Our next report comes this afternoon during All Things Considered at 4:30.
Programs on WILL are made possible by the Illinois Professional Science Master's programs on the Urbana-Champaign campus, offering graduate degrees that combine science and business, including the program in bioenergy. More information is available at 217-265-5363 or on the web at psm.illinois.edu.
Let's take a look now at the weather. A brisk south to southwest wind will continue to blow ahead of a cold front today, and that wind will push more spring-like air into the region. As the cold front approaches from the west this afternoon, we'll see an increase in clouds along with some scattered showers. Better chances of rain will develop late this afternoon and this evening as the front pushes into eastern Illinois and Indiana. Behind the front, an area of high pressure will build into the area for tomorrow and Thursday, bringing us dry conditions and another round of above-average temperatures. High temperatures today will range from the low 40s in northern Iowa to the upper 60s across southern Missouri. Lows tonight will range from the mid-20s in northern Iowa to the upper 40s along the Ohio River Valley. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, increasing clouds and a high in the low 60s. It will be breezy with a wind out of the southwest from 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a low of 42. The wind from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little cooler. Look for a high of 52. The wind will be light and from the northwest. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 32. The wind light and from the west. Thursday, mostly sunny. Look for a high in the low 50s and a light southwest wind. Thursday night, partly cloudy. We'll see a low in the mid-30s. The outlook for Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. At noon central time, we had a mix of clouds and sun across Illinois and Indiana. Temperatures, for the most part, in the 50s, although Indianapolis reported 60 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 53 at Rockford, 56 degrees at O'Hare and Carbondale, 54 at Bloomington, 55 at Mattoon. 53 degrees at South Bend, at Lafayette, 56, Indianapolis, 60 degrees. Terre Haute reported 57 degrees. Willard Airport had a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 55 degrees. The dew point, 43. The relative humidity, 63%. The wind out of the south at 21 with gusts to 30. And the barometric pressure, 29.95 and falling. And at 12:41, 56 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Illinois' spring legislative session is getting underway today in Springfield. It's an election year, so members of the General Assembly will want to pass plenty of laws they can brag about in campaign brochures. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, glum fiscal news means they may be forced to make decisions that will disappoint voters.
Politicians, by their very nature, keep a careful eye on their next election, but many will be more hawkish than usual about this next round, beginning with the March primaries. Legislators are running in newly drawn districts, meaning they're campaigning in different territory. All of that results in an election with an extra layer of politics, partisanship, and fear of the unknown. It comes at a bad time. According to her latest report, Comptroller Judy Bartopinka is sitting on nearly $4 billion in bills the state can't afford afford to pay. That's not to mention another $2 billion of Medicaid expenses that are on the way. Topinka, a Republican, says the good old days of creating new programs that can be featured in glossy brochures are over.
The roadmap is limited. It needs to be followed through on. It takes political will. And the legislature and the governor are going to have to stay very disciplined to get this thing through. Because, I can't print money in the basement here to keep everybody happy.
Topinka's not alone in saying it has to come to a stop. House Speaker Mike Madigan, a Democrat, said a good governor needs to have two qualities. First, he must know government operations.
But especially the operations of the state budget. And that you be prepared to work with people and they make tough decisions.
Madigan says that's true always, but there's a need to make difficult choices.
More now than ever before, because there's a shortage of money to support all of the worthy ideas that are supported by the state of Illinois.
Governor Pat Quinn is set to lay out his agenda Wednesday during a State of the State address. A budget speech comes later next month. Quinn spokeswoman Annie Thompson says his focus will be on creating jobs.
He will be laying out an ambitious agenda to continue helping our working families and to continue growing jobs all across Illinois.
Key in on the helping families bit. Early word is that Quinn will propose a tax cut for parents. He's not the only leader looking to bring down taxes, despite the pressures on Illinois' budget. Pressures that have been eased but not alleviated by the income tax hike that has now been in place for over a year. Republican and Democratic camps have called for rolling back the tax rate for corporations, and the GOP has made motions to eliminate the hike entirely. How Illinois could afford either is hard to fathom, given figures in a new report from the Civic Federation, which says within 5 years, Illinois will be $35 billion in the red. Civic Federation President Lawrence Massal calls that terrifying. He says Illinois has to reel in its biggest expenses, Medicaid and pensions, and fast. Illinois' unfunded pension liability continues to rise after lawmakers made a pattern of putting too little money aside to pay for employees' retirement benefits.
It is a horribly disappointing and frustrating situation for the taxpayers that the state has not been funding its pension system. It's unfair to the many hardworking teachers, state employees, and state university employees who have done everything they were told they needed to do, but unfortunately, the state doesn't have the money.
Doing something to bring down pension costs is sure to be a focus this year. Quinn and each of the legislature's four top leaders say they want it to happen. But there's disagreement on just what should be done, and given the elections on the horizon, rank-and-file legislators could be hesitant to embrace platforms that upset prime constituencies, teachers, and union members. But shifting more of the burden for pension costs to local schools could also upset property taxpayers, which is why this election, with its added pressures of new district boundaries, comes at a bad time. Just when they want most to make voters happy, lawmakers will be faced with unpopular choices. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
An exploratory committee is forming to learn whether Champaign can support a minor league baseball team. A former minor league owner, sports enthusiasts, and someone who helped lure a collegiate team to town in the 1990s were among the 15 people at the group's initial meeting last night. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bosser talked with committee chair Tony Johnson, who was tapped by Champaign Mayor Don Girard to lead the group.
He and I met years ago. His son Will and my son Jack and my stepson Mike have all played baseball together. Don, obviously, is a very passionate baseball fan, as am I. He and I discussed, as we started this process, the possibility of minor league baseball. He has his hands full with other things, so I told him that I'd take this task to try to drive this committee and hopefully bring something back to him that he can use.
After the first initial exploratory committee meeting with potential members of that committee, you maybe had more of an idea, a narrower view of what it could be, and possibilities opened up for you.
Not having done this before and not knowing what would fit well in Champaign, I knew what I wanted to do was surround myself with people who had experience with this. And so as I started to talk to people about being on the committee, they started to tell me other people who probably should be on the committee because of their experience. And as those people stepped forward, their level of expertise really helped open the door for maybe what could be done, and also helped eliminate some possibilities that maybe wouldn't work right off the bat.
Well, let's talk about what could be successful. I mean, at the time that this was pitched to you, you probably had a vision, whether it's along Neal Street, mm-hmm. at a location that the mayor has mentioned, or somewhere else, or possibly not even exactly in Champaign, drawing potentially around 5,000 fans.
Several factors add up to that target, and one of the things would be a great facility with ease of access and then a place where you could have a family entertainment value, a family entertainment dollar could be well spent. Whether that was on the North Neal area or whether it was on the west side of Champaign or whether it was bounded on the outside by the interstate, all of those things were possibilities.
A lot of the proposal is about building a park.
Right.
And it's talking about funding it a little bit tonight, a public-private partnership. And I'm sure people ask, how are we going to pay for this? How do you respond as far as the issue of funding a ballpark and in today's economy and some of those questions?
This is my initial thought, was it would be a privately owned stadium with a privately owned team, but it could be facilitated by cooperation with public, the city specifically. And so maybe the city had land or had the ability or an option on land that this could happen on. So that when the mayor approached me, that was what I thought the involvement level might be from the municipal standpoint. However, I've learned more as I've started down the process now that there are a lot of things that the municipality and the city government can do potentially for funding resources, and that would be maybe a tax break, not tax revenue from the city, but maybe a TIF district or things like that could be done. There could be a break for somebody who, just like if you were building a new manufacturing facility in town, if you came to town and said, I want to make widgets, that maybe the city would help you out by giving you a tax break, a tax incentive to put your widget factory here.
It really sounds like the real goal here is a ball, and you're not eliminating any possibilities now, including independent league, but you got your homework to do as far as checking up on maybe other communities. They mentioned Fort Wayne,
right.
A couple other cities,
right.
that are very similar in size and successfully have minor league franchises.
And I think realistically, a ball would be shooting for the stars for us. And what I mean by A is a single A team affiliated with a major league franchise that played during the summer, something like 140 games during the summer. These are minor league baseball players that are on their way up from A to double A, triple A, and some of them will eventually be in the major leagues. So that would be a dream, and that would be shooting for the stars. Now, if we can't get that, I don't want to say that the prospects of having a team in town are dead, because I think there are other independent levels where you can be successful. And it all circles back to that possibility that you would have a facility that would house this franchise that could bring entertainment value to the city that the city would then support and surrounding communities would support.
Tony Johnson, he spoke with Jeff Bossert of Illinois Public Media. The exploratory committee will spend the next 12 to 14 months developing a plan to bring a minor league baseball team to Champaign. You can hear more of this interview on our website, will.illinois.edu.
Illinois Governor Pat Quinn gives his State of the State address this Wednesday. The governor will speak to a joint session of the General Assembly at the state capitol in Springfield. I'm Sean Crawford of Illinois Public Radio, and our broadcast begins at noon. We'll have reaction and analysis. Join us.
You can hear Illinois Public Radio's special coverage on AM 580 or online at will.illinois.edu Wednesday at noon.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 31st of January. 2012. It's the birthday of the man who holds the European record for reciting from memory Pi, Daniel Paul Tammet, who was able to recite Pi, the number that begins 3.14, all the way to 22,514 digits, which he did from memory in 5 hours and 9 minutes. He was born in London, 1979, grew up autistic, epileptic, and with synesthesia, a rare condition in which a person has unique sensory experiences, which Tammet himself described as a visual emotional experience of numbers, a neurological mixing of the senses in which he saw alphabetical letters or numbers in color. Vladimir Nabokov, the writer, was also a synesthete and documented this in his memoir, Speak Memory. Daniel Paul Tammet begins his memoir, "I was born on January 31st, 1979, a Wednesday. I know it was a Wednesday because the date is blue in my mind, and Wednesdays are always blue, like the number 9 or the sound of loud voices arguing." He wrote, "Numbers are my friends, and they are always around me. Each one is unique and has its own personality." The memoir entitled Born on a Blue Day, Inside the Extraordinary Mind of an Autistic Savant. It's the birthday of John O'Hara, born in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, 1905, one of the most popular serious writers of his lifetime. Wrote many best-selling novels, Appointment in Samara, A Rage to Live. Many critics consider